Hello and welcome to the November 11th, 2017 edition of my very first podcast that I've ever created. First time hitting a record button, so I guess we'll call this episode number one. Welcome to the very first episode, the number one episode of Remarried with Children. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cult of personality. I know your anger. I kind of had to, I think I had to start with that song because my very first fan, or so to speak, person listening will most definitely be my wife, and that'll make her laugh. So that's, you know, I'll play a song every once in a blue moon. I'll tell you right now, I don't have anything queued up right now again, because I have no idea what I'm doing. This is my very first one, and I don't want to waste a whole lot of time talking about me right now. You know, I hope that people don't know who I am. And I'm not going to tell you my name, but I am going to tell you my whole life. I really am. And we're going to start tonight. We really are. And I would imagine this has caught your attention because of the subtitle that I hope I'm able to upload it after I create this podcast. I would like to name this podcast Autism 101. And for those of you who think this is going to be just a straightforward lesson on Autism 101, you're sadly mistaken. That's not what it's going to be. But just to give you a quick background about myself, I'm a 42-year-old male. I'm not going to tell you my profession as of yet. It's not really necessary to tell you. You'll figure it out very, very quickly, or at least you'll have an idea very, very quickly. But I'm a 42-year-old male, and I am married. And I like to use that term, and you know, I'm trying to learn the proper way of referring to my wife right now, because so many times I constantly find myself having to say my ex-wife, and I think a few times I've referred to my latest wife. I mean, it sounds silly even when I say it like that, but my wife, she's my wife, she's my life right now, so why should she be called anything else but, you know, my wife? But I guess sometimes I have to identify my ex-wife, and I hate doing so. But unfortunately, many of us are dealing with situations such as what I deal with, being not necessarily remarried being the problem. This is the most wonderful thing in the world that could happen to somebody, get a second opportunity at life. But just going through divorce, if you have gone through divorce, this is a podcast for you to listen to. If you've, if you have children with autism, this is a podcast for you to listen to. If you know somebody with a mental health disorder, a mental health illness, this is a podcast for you to listen to. And I'm not going to limit that mental health disorder. I'm not going to limit that to anything. It's going to be whatever you want to talk about. We're going to talk about anything, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. You want to talk about obsessive compulsive disorder. We're going to talk about all of that. And then, you know, if that's what you're interested in listening about, if you're interested in listening about everyday life, get this. Okay, I told you I'm 42. Here are my children's ages, and I'm not going to tell you my children's names, but they are 14. That's my daughter. I have a 12-year-old son, and I have a 6.5-month-old baby right now, and a beautiful, wonderful wife who I love and adore with all of my heart. And she knows that I've been looking and searching for a platform to speak on for a long time. And I do speak. Somebody's going to know who I am. And it's really not going to matter because I'm not sharing anything that's that I shouldn't be sharing. And, you know, people may pass judgment. based on whatever episode it might be and whatever we might discuss, because I'm going to definitely have opinions. Nevertheless, you're going to learn a lot, and I want to get back down to business. See, I'm already talking a little bit too much about myself, and that's not what this is supposed to be about. So I think it's important we learn a little bit more about me, but allow me to educate you as I just give it to you straight. And I guess I'm going to start from the beginning. That's how I'm going to educate you, because I've always been told that when I speak to people, the personal experiences that I give, that I talk about, are what allow me to educate people. It's not the book knowledge that I've received, the years of schooling that I received, that I'm still paying for, that I'm going to be paying for the rest of my life, that I still don't understand why there is a program out there. People tell me there's a program of some sort where you can get your student loan reduced. Where is this program? Why don't I know about it? I would love to know why I don't know about it. I've asked about it. I mean, I get spam about it. I get phone calls about it. People call my phone for hours giving me fake deals, but that's besides the point. Where was I? In terms of my life and where I started, that's the way I have to educate you. And I always use the term, I started at 16. So basically what I've been doing for about 25 years. I'm 42 years old right now, and I started when I was about 16. And I wasn't able to get a job anywhere else, because everywhere in retail that I got a job, I basically failed in every piece of retail that I ever got into. So for those of you who got that little retail job, I was a cashier. And as a cashier, I watched somebody walk away from the cashier, from the cash register, whatever. It was $99.99. I rung them up, and they walked away without paying. And I was $100 short. Well, actually, $99.99 short on my draw for that day, and I got suspended for 3 days. I didn't do well in the men's department of a clothing store. I didn't last too long over there. So, anyway, I got a job as a camp counselor. And I loved it. I really did. I enjoyed it. And what was interesting about it was the population that I was with at the time. They were clearly, they were children with disabilities. And at the time, I'm not going to lie, what I used to call them was the word, I used to use the word retard. Retarded. That was the word that we used 25 years ago or whatever it was back when I was 16. Guys, I'm horrible at math. I have no idea what that is. So with 2017, you figure it out. I can't do it. I just can't. But at the age of 16, I worked with these children. Now, I will tell you that some of them had physical disabilities. I know for certain that there was hands missing, limbs missing, things of that nature. And I had no problem with it. I really didn't. It came very easy to me. It didn't even faze me. I don't know why. I kind of felt proud to do it, because other people would, look at that. I don't know, and that kind of action always made me sick as a person. So it was kind of me just standing up for somebody who, in essence, even back then was bullied. Think about it. I still remember that at 16 years old. Children making fun of other children. So, yes, our worst nightmares are true when it comes to our kids. And, I know it now. I don't see it as much now. My daughter's 14, as I mentioned. My son is 12, and I don't see it as much now as I used to. They're kind of able to defend themselves, but they got the regular teenage drama stuff that they're going through. We'll talk about that another time. Got to stick to the topic here. Autism 101. But so far I haven't mentioned autism. But I will tell you this. They were not retarded. They were children with autism, and I know that because I remember back to the way that they acted, the self-stimulatory behavior. And for those of you who are unaware of what that means, an example of that would be rocking back and forth. That's a perfect way to describe self-stimulatory behavior, or I'm going to refer to it as stimming. These children were stimming. They were hand flapping, jumping up and down, rocking back and forth, self-injurious. Leads me, do you want to talk about self-injurious? Here it is, Autism 101. Okay? Now this is, at the age of 16, I worked with these children, and I remember going home to my parents and telling them that I enjoyed it. I really did. I was a counselor in training. I did it through that, and I was good at it. So I remember going home and enjoying it. Now, when I went away to school, I went away to college, I don't really want to get into that right now. We got to save that for another time. But I did go to an upstate college, and there was a lot of partying that went on there. It's something that you really got to think about. It's really a decision that I'm going to have to think long and hard about when it comes to my children. They keep saying they want to go away, and I don't want to send them. I'm scared. I really don't think it's a good idea. But it's something that we're going to probably have to discuss. I'm hoping that we become big enough as a podcast community that we could actually discuss these things on a blog or a website, or I don't even know how that stuff works, but we'll get there. But anyway, I got my first teaching job shortly after coming home from being away at school. I went and I got my master's degree, and I got my first teaching job, and the very first school I was in, I call this Autism 101, because here I was now revisiting in this school. Now, this was a private school, and the school had a population of only autism in the school, and this was a little bit different than what I was used to. Because there was a mixture. In the summer camp, I mean, I believe there was only two or three of the entire group. The rest were physical disabilities. Now, I was ready. I was here dealing with an entire group of children with autism. And one of the things that I noticed when I walked into this school was the fact that I was one of the only men in this school. And I got to tell you, even now, in 2017, being a man in the special education world, that's a big thing. If you could be in special education and be a man, you can get a job, and you can get a very good job with that. So it's something to think about. Because we need the help. We really do. We need men in the field to help with autism. And if you're a parent with autism, you'll understand. I am not a parent with autism. So let's get that out on the table right now. I might as well say that. You're not listening to somebody who is living the same life that you're living. Nope, you're not. I come home. I do. I come home. I come home to a crying baby at 6.5 months old. One that went through months and months and months of colicky, horrible behavior where me and my wife, my dear God, if we didn't love each other like a married couple should love one another, if we didn't stand by each other the way a married couple should, and let me tell you something, this, if you're looking for a podcast that's going to talk about marital differences and how to get past them, I'm not really going to be very good with that because that's the one thing we're not going to discuss in this podcast, because I don't have any problems. I really don't. I did. Oh, God, did I? I mean, you want to know, it's amazing when you have a wonderful new marriage, what it becomes and what, you know, what your life becomes, because you compare it. You can't help but compare it to your old life sometimes. And not because you think about your old life, but just because sometimes you can't believe that this is what it was really supposed to be like. This is what true love is. So, you know, with that being said, that doesn't mean that you don't get on each other's nerves and you don't get frustrated with one another. But during the time when your kids are sick, that's when a lot of times, you know, you will come together. And especially if you really love one another, you know, sick children will bring even an unhappily married couple together, because you have a common bond in the sense where you both produce the same thing that you love very dearly, so you're always going to want to protect it together, or separately, but you'll both want to protect the same thing, so it appears as if it's together. So even if you're unhappily married, it appears as if it's a unity, because your only emotion during that period of time is the well-being of your child. So when you're happily married, all you could do is cry together, because you feel so comfortable with one another and you love each other so much. And I guess this podcast, part of the podcast, is for the parent that is going through what we went through with the dreaded colic and the dreaded acid reflux and the horrible medications that you go through. Or the horrible journey that you take to get to the medication that finally helps, and the failed medications along the way, and the pain that you endure on the way to even getting to a medication. I mean, our child had a milk allergy, and we had no idea. We just kept feeding them different milk formulas. You know, at what point does the doctor say, why did it take 6 different formulas, or 4 different formulas, or whatever it was. I don't know, my oldest son was on 1,000 different formulas, but I swore I'd never go through this again, but here I am, I went through it again. So why does it take 4 different formulas for them to finally say, bring in a piece of this shit, and we're going to test it? I don't understand. Like, what, why? Why? They shit 100 times a day in the beginning. Why could I know, and I'm not talking about the very beginning when it's all that tarry, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, when they shit a lot in the beginning. Bring it in. He's spitting up. He's got acid reflux. He's not drinking. He's not sleeping. He's not doing well with his food. Bring in a piece of shit, and we'll test it to see if there's blood, because if there's blood, then he's got an allergy. Why do I got to go through 1,000 formulas until they tell me to bring in a piece of shit? I don't understand. So, anyway, back to where we started. So I got my first teaching job when I came home after I completed my master's. And, by the way, I am no longer a teacher, just so you know. And I got a teaching job, and I was the only man in the school, really. I really was, and I kind of liked that, you know. I hate to say it, I'm not gonna lie, and you know, I'm a married man now, but at the time, at the age of, I guess I was 19 when I completed my master's. I'm still not good with dates and ages. Figure I was in the midst of my master's. I'm sorry. I didn't complete my master's yet. I was still going to school. I was going to grad school. And I was started as a teacher's assistant. So clearly, and I did my student teaching here. So anyway, my first day. It's just my first day. Autism 101. That's the name of this episode. Podcast number one. November 11th, 2017, remarried with children, autism 101. I'm the only man in the school, and I get brought into my classroom, and I notice that they give me a very big kid. He's about 7, I'm thinking, he's around 7 years old, he's a big kid. And this little boy actually has something in his hands, and it appears to be two rocks that he's playing with in his hands, and he's moving them back and forth, and he's jiggling them kind of in his hands. And it was allowed. Nobody said anything to him, so they just let him do it, so I let him do it. And that was it. And they said, well, he's yours. And I said, okay, whatever that might mean, he's yours. Now, again, I had the experience from when I was 16. I had some experience. I worked away at college. I'm not going to get into that right now, but here I am. And they, you know, they say he's yours. So my very first day on the job, one of the first tasks that I had to do with this young man was I had to take him from the classroom and walk him to the occupational therapy room. So I did so. So I walked him, and it was across the school, and it was, directions were simple. Walk down the hallway, make a left, go straight down, make another left, and you won't miss it. Because, and I didn't miss it, because when I got there, what was there was, you know, when he got in, huge ball pit. He went in. He's about 7 years old, big kid, in the ball pit, and he's in there, and he's self-stimulating, and he's rocking back and forth, and he's giggling. And by the way, he put his rocks down on the side. Didn't have his rocks in the ball pit, knew enough to put his rocks down on the side, completely nonverbal. Beautiful young man, blonde hair, blue eyes. Beautiful, such an adorable young man. So he's in the ball pit, he's playing, and I'm just waiting there, and then they get him out of there, and, he can't put his shoes, he can't put his shoes on, I could tell you that. He wasn't able to take them off. He had to be hand-over-hand assistance with all that, and at that point in time, he did know well enough to go into a therapeutic type of swing that's used during the occupational therapy sessions for children with autism, or at least in this school it was, and they would swing him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And that was it, and the session was over. So after that, goodbye, bye-bye, and we prompt, and if you don't know what a prompt is, the prompt means we prompted him to say goodbye. I prompted him to say goodbye to the teacher. At this point in time now, I need you to understand that I know well enough to do this. Okay, even on my first day, you know, because I've picked this up now enough throughout the day where I've been in the classroom and I'm saying, say, Jimmy, say hi, Jimmy, say bye. You know, everybody's talking for these children for the most part. This is what I remember. I also remember several of them walking around with little binders, little miniature binders at the time. I referred to them as, in my head, little miniature binders that had little icons on them, little picture icons on them that had a whole bunch of different things, pretzels, goldfish, pictures of different things. I remember that the first day seeing that. As I scan the room. But nevertheless, here I am. OT, say bye. Say bye, because I knew it. I figured it out already. That was what you do with all the children. Tell them bye. Say bye. And by the way, you know, we got to get away from that. It's not exactly what I want you guys to do, parents with autism. It's not all about the say bye, okay? There's another way to do it. Okay, first of all, let's eliminate the word say altogether, please, because we're engaging an echolalia. If we're engaging an echolalia and you're saying the word say bye, most likely your child with autism is going to say the word say back to you. So please eliminate the word say, okay? With that being said, I'm doing it wrong here at the age of 19. Say bye. Say bye. So anyway, we walk out of the OT room, and now we're walking back to the classroom, and it's fine. We're going back, and he's transitioning well, and that's what we call that, transitioning. And then all of a sudden, this young man, 7 years old, drops, plops, ass down right in the hallway, and says, "Screw you, I'm not going nowhere." And he's sitting Indian style with his ass on the floor, not going nowhere. And I'm going, "All right, come on, so-and-so, and we'll just call him, for the sake of this podcast, let's call him something. We'll call him Billy. Billy Boy, we'll call him, okay? Come on, Billy Boy." Like an idiot I sound. Complete idiot. "Billy Boy, let's go, babe. Billy Boy, come on, man. Come on, Billy Boy." And he's going, you know, he's giggling, playing with the rocks, rocking back and forth. And then he gets quiet. And I don't know what to do. You know, and I'm thinking, do I just pick him up? Do I just, you know, what do I do here? I don't have enough. You know, listen, I know how to, enough now that I taught him how to say goodbye, or at least prompted him how to wave his hand, because he was nonverbal. He was, and the bye sound was there. It was an approximation. It was a ba, 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 like that. But, so anyway, I didn't really know what to do. And then shit got worse, because now Billy Bob starts hitting his head. And for those of you who are unable to envision this, and there are unfortunately many parents out there with children with autism who can envision this right now. But for those of you who can't, and actually some of you may not be able to, even those with autism, because a lot of our parents of children with and adults with autism will envision their children banging their heads backwards into a wall. That's not what took place here. Billy Bob was seated Indian style, and he actually leaned forward. And you could envision this, many of you, I'm sure. But it wasn't that typical swing back, hit back. You know, and that's not to say that children, that Billy Bob was the only kid that I know that would hit his head going forward. No, I've seen that before afterwards many, many times. But this was the first time I've ever seen a self-injurious behavior like this at the camp. I remember one of the kids, like, getting angry with himself for not performing well. And that was at the age of 16, and making a fist and punching himself in the face because he didn't do well. And I remember that kind of self-injurious behavior. But never this. Never this. Not on my first day. Me, you know, I was the big man on campus, man, you know. This is my calling. Here I am, the big bad male. You know, I spent half my day looking at the women, to be honest with you. That's what I did. What do you do at the age of 19 when you're the only guy in the school? I mean, you know, I did concentrate on my job, but I looked in every single classroom to see every single person that worked there. Guys and girls, not just girls, not to be a pervert. It wasn't that I was just being a pervert, okay? I wanted to see, you know, I was very, very, very different back then than what I am right now, you know. For those of you who are unaware of what, you know, mental illness, bipolar disorder, we're going to talk about that too. My goodness, please. Okay, but we'll get there. I don't know how I got off on that tangent. My goodness. Anyway, here we are. Let's go back. He's hitting his head forward. And I don't know what to do. I really don't. One of the staff members comes by, and they yell at me, and they say, "You have to wrap him." I say, "What the hell is a wrap?" And she goes, "You go like this, and you wrap his arms, and you basically, you know, swing his arms around to his side, and you hold him up against your chest like this." I said, "All right." I go, "Fine." So I did it. So I pulled his arms. I held him by his wrist, and I pulled his arms. I pulled him up, and I held him. I stood behind him, and I had him. And I stopped him from hurting himself. And it was great. And it was wonderful. And then this young man, 6 years old, he reared back. And he smashed his head into my freaking nose harder than anything has ever smashed my nose in my entire life. I thought I was actually going to, I mean, if you've never been hit in the nose, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. I felt the blood begin to rush down to my throat, and I wanted to actually vomit right then and there, because the amount of blood that came rushing down, and for those of you who have had just a bloody nose in the past, it drips down. I could deal with that. I don't like it, but I could deal with it. When you break your nose and shatter it the way that it was shattered at this day, what happens is the blood rushes down your throat and you feel it in the back of your throat and it goes like a faucet. And that's what I felt. And I let him go. Somebody else took him. And that day I was wheeled away in an ambulance, drove away in an ambulance. So the big badass guy, only man in the school, did not do too well that day. In my first experience with children with autism. And I ended up going on to work with this young man for the rest of the year. And that was it, just for 1 year. He was in my classroom the following year, or maybe the year after, because I was there for almost 3 years, 2.5, something along those lines. And that young man was in my classroom twice. The first time I worked with him, the second time around, I was not his one-on-one. So, you know, that was my experience. And I ended up working in that school, like I said, for quite some time, and I ended up getting a lead teaching position. And I have to tell you, that was when I actually changed my career, the course of my career. I got my teaching job, and they put me in a classroom with children that were older. And I had a lot of experience, like I said. I worked with seven-year-olds. They were 7, 8, and 9 that year, that first year. And then I got to work with even younger. I got to work with 5-year-olds the following year. And then the year after that, I worked with actually half the year. I switched from the 5-year-olds, and I went and I worked with the 11, 12, and 13-year-olds. And that's what I did. I worked with the 13-year-olds, and then from that point on, that's when they transferred me, when I got my, finally graduated with my master's. I received my certification in special education. So now we are aware of some of my qualifications that I have. Certified K through 12, special education. I went ahead and I decided that after I got a teaching job there, for the adults, I lasted exactly 1 day. Not even 1 day. I lasted a few hours. I thought my shit didn't stink. Okay? I thought I was too good to be true. I was at that school for several years. And, you know, in my brain, I said, you know what? I've been changing diapers. I've been wiping a lot of heinies. And I don't want to. They put me in the classroom to observe that day. And they were 21-year-olds, and they had transferred me now to the residential program. And there was feces all over the wall. You know, everybody was in diapers, and they were, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, around that age. That entire age range, actually, was in that classroom at the time. And I made it a few hours, and then I left. I left, and I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. I'm not cleaning adults. And it's ironic because here I am now in my adult life at 42, and I don't have a problem doing it. In fact, I still do it. I still do it. Not all the time, but I do it. And I'll explain that at another time in another podcast. So I went out on my own. I went out on my own for many, many years, 13 years to be exact, and I ended up, I'll give you one more qualification, on top of being a K through 12 special education teacher, I am also certified to work with babies, which we refer to as, in this neck of the woods, early intervention, okay? Now, there are several other things that I am qualified to do, and I will not get into that right now. because I want to wrap things up relatively soon. I think I gave you enough history for now about autism and 101, autism 101. And what that meant was I just wanted to give you my very first experience with autism. And we're going to talk a lot more about autism. But we do have to talk about several other things. And what I want to say in closing is that whether you are a parent of a child with autism, if you're just a regular parent, if you're married, if you're struggling in your marriage, if you are remarried, if you're going through a divorce, if you are struggling with drugs right now, if you're struggling with an antidepressant, if you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with anxiety, if you are struggling with your children and their behavior and their obsessions with games and YouTube, if you are struggling with understanding who you really are as a person, why you get so angry sometimes, why you can't sleep at night, why you have shortness of breath, why you have rapid thoughts in your head, why you feel guilty, why you feel jealous, just why. If you have all those questions, if you want to know why, I don't have all the answers, but I think that we could discover a lot together. So stick with me. This is episode 1, and I'm signing off right now, and I want to thank you for listening to my very first podcast, Remarried with Children. Have a good night. Until next time. We all need somebody.